And as a lead in here, I'm going to try to get a little feel for everybody here. Did anybody have any pets? Have any pets? Yes. Have any pets? You might relate to this. Maybe your pet had a litter someday, or maybe just you had several pets at one time. But one in that litter, or one particular pet that you had that seemed like it was uniquely special to you. There was just something different about that animal. It was healthier or friendlier or smarter, or maybe it didn't chew your shoes up or whatever it might be. No, maybe not. Some of you. All right, no voting on this one here, at least no obvious voting. But did you have a favorite child that was yours, your own child? A grandchild that seemed destined for greatness? Now, I actually deleted out of here, but I'm going to add back in here. I know I very closely relate to that because I was both all my grandparents' favorite child and my father's favorite child. I would say I was my mother's favorite child, but she's the only one left here to refute all of that. So I won't claim that. And it's probably not fair for what I'm doing today to say favorite. But I assure you, I've seen members of my family and of this church family that I knew there was something different about them from the time that they were very young. And I mean this in a good way, that there was something different about them that it caused me to expect great things from them as they aged. And I'd have to say that so far I haven't been wrong, and I'm thankful about that. So let's go really deep here. Who do you think is God's favorite? Okay, that was a really weak trick question. God loves every human being, correct? He doesn't show favoritism. As a matter of fact, in Romans, the second chapter, 6 through 8 verses, and then skipping to the 11th verse, it's going to say this. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistent and doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. And skipping to verse 11, for God does not show favoritism. Okay, so God doesn't have a favorite. But I want to go back and return to that destined for greatness thought that I was talking about earlier there. When I had this feeling about some young person, you know, the thought that actually goes literally in my mind is that, you know, they're set aside. They're special. They're set apart. And what changed my mind on my topic this morning actually happened last night. And I won't give names here, but I was in the room with one of my grandkids. And I had this overwhelming feeling, as you typically do. I have an overwhelming feel for love for all of them. It's amazing how much easier grandkids are. I can let my youngest one just abuse me, and it just amuses me. But this feeling of love and anticipation for their future, I can't, you know, and I hope I'm around for it. I can't wait to see who they become when they grow older. But likewise, I have this feeling of dread for them. I have a feeling of dread because I know all the hard things that I've gone through in my life, and I know that they're going to go through things that are like that or even worse. The temptations or the pressures that they'll have to deal with in their teen years and on ongoing years will be overwhelming. And I'm speaking to you grandkids and other grandkids out there that aren't mine. And honestly, I'm speaking to other teenagers and other young people. And I have to say that I'm also pointing out that I'm speaking to all of you because there are temptations and pressures to do wrong. And that temptation, that pressure doesn't seem to end at any certain age, at least not one that I've accomplished yet. And here we are in December, which means I'm going to finish another year. Look, I'm not likely going to say anything brilliant or unusual or anything that you've never heard this morning. But I assure you that my words are sincere, and I wanted to share them with you. Set apart. If I had to title it, that's what we are. Set apart. We are special. Dare I say we are peculiar? No, I didn't say it. I needed to go back to the King James Version, though, because modern versions use the word special in this verse almost entirely. They've done away with peculiar. But 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, modern definitions or modern definition of the word peculiar would probably have Peter calling us Christians odd or unusual. And though the made world and many people in the world probably do look at us like that, the modern translations, though saying special, have it more accurate for our understanding. We are God's special people. We belong to him. And I've heard that if I repeat this over and over again, as you're going to notice what I'm going to do, that you'll get the point. And that is, we are set apart. When we accept Jesus, we are given the rights to a name that is very powerful. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We are named children of God. And with that, we are given great rewards. We're also given great responsibility. We have a new name. We are set apart. The Christian, when accepting the call to be born again, is transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. In a memorable opening to a chapter, one that is used many times up here in the front row with children class as a memory verse, the 12th chapter of Romans begins like this. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I always like the King James Version and the New King James Version, since it ends the first verse with reasonable service. True and proper worship is likely a good translation, but I always felt like this was, this reasonable was actually kind of fun in a duh way. It's reasonable that you should do this. This is what God is doing for you. Again, you are set apart. A key phrase there is do not conform to the pattern of this world. We shouldn't be the same shape of the world. We shouldn't be the same as the people that are in the world. We shouldn't follow evil or ungodly principles. Psalms 1:1 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." I know that this is not my quote. I've heard many people say this. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. Again, we are set apart. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 4, says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, if you're familiar with this verse, or if you're following along with it, the 4th verse has the word God in it 2 different times. But one's capitalized and one's not. Well, why is that? Because the God of this world, the lowercase God, the one that blinded the non-believers, this is the devil, Satan, the serpent. We cannot be of the world if the leader of the things worldly, the God of this world, is the worst being that we've ever known. We can't be of the world. Why do we give in to the will of the world? Is it our own weakness? When I contemplated that, I was thinking about Joshua. And when he was put into charge of his leadership role right after Moses died, the Lord spoke to him and said to him 3 different times in 3 slightly different ways, "Be strong and courageous." He finishes those thoughts in Joshua 1st chapter, the 9th verse, says, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Do you think Joshua was fearful or hesitant before he accepted his role? I'm not sure that would be the case. I don't see any indication of that. However, I believe that he would have felt like an unstoppable force. when God buffed him up with the words and promised him that he would always be there. We don't need to be weak if we trust in God's plan and his power. When we give in, do we do it because we want to impress our peers? Not all, but some of your peers will be impressed when you resist the conformity of this world, when you do the thing that's right. They might not even say it to you, but they'll be impressed with you. They'll see that you're set apart. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says to not pray to be noticed and to not fast to be noticed. If I can just paraphrase that shortly here for you. They shouldn't pray or they shouldn't fast to gain the praise of other men. If they do this, that is, if they're noticed by man, that's the reward they get. They're noticed by man. It doesn't impress God. Who are we trying to impress when we give in to ungodlike behavior? God? No. Consider who rewards you with respect or friendship or whatever it might be. Is this really someone whose respect we even care about? I hope not. The great show of strength that you can have is from standing for what you know is right. Here, you're going to win the praise of God win the praise of God, and though not more importantly, perhaps nearly as important, you'll earn the respect of yourself. See, you're set apart. You need to be strong and courageous and be happy with yourself. The word proud has such an evil connotation, but be proud of yourself when you resist temptation. You've done well. You don't need to boast about it, but know that you did well. Know that you were strong. Odd as it may seem, resisting wrong, being chicken, I don't know, they even say being chicken anymore, being scared. Are you scared? Come on, everybody else does it. Your mom will never know. Your dad will never know. These comments are all geared toward making you seem weak if you don't go along. The odd thing is that the real strength is shown when you stand up for what is right. This may be difficult for someone who lacks much experience in the world. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. I'm talking to you young ones again right here. You know, it's interesting, the age of this church. I'm so happy to say this. That just like when I was working my career, I had like 18 years in and I was at the bottom 20% seniority. I'm happy to say as I'm finishing 57, I'm still barely in the middle of the seniority. I'm happy that y'all are here. So there's others that have more experience with it, but I have plenty to speak on too. As I think about the hardship that faces our youth, and yes, it still faces ours that aren't so young, I come to a sobering conclusion. Life is so much easier when you don't have to ask for forgiveness. This is me speaking of personal forgiveness, of forgiving me. I've done many great things in my life. I've done many poor things in my life. I've made some decisions that, whether they were sinful or not, affected me to this day with guilt and regret. I understand that we must forgive ourselves. Sometimes it's hard, and possibly, I wish that some of these things had never happened. This causes unneeded stress in my life. It can make me focus on the past, which is silly because there's nothing that can be done about it. We need to live in the present and plan for the future. This makes me repeat, but rephrase, making the correct decisions are something you'll never regret and you'll never need to apologize for. This is a wonderful life you chose when you chose to obey the call. You were set apart. You are God's child. But sometimes it's hard, isn't it? What if it's your friends that are threatening to leave you? What if it's your family members that are tempting you with things that you know are wrong? What if your coworkers will no longer speak to you because you're so different? I feel like I'm all alone in this. John 16:33, Jesus says this, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Yep. Living the Christian life, it ain't always easy. But by seeking God's truth, relying on others of like mind, that burden is greatly lifted from you. Suffering seems like a bad thing, but suffering does help us draw closer to God. It reminds us that this world is not our home. Our suffering reminds us that we are set apart, peculiar, God's children. Though this final verse is a conclusion to a chapter advising us to flee from sexual immorality, I feel that the words hold true to the resistance of all things evil. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th and 20th verses, it says, "What? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." You're not your own? No, you're not your own. You're set apart. You're God's child. You've been given the promises that God gives to God's children. Being set apart is an honor, and it is an honor. It gives us a purpose in life, and that should be a welcome purpose, and that is the challenge to prove to God that we are worthy of being called His own. And that, my friends, is it. I appreciate your audience this morning. It's always wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to take the time to create a lesson to speak to you, because often as not, the one who's speaking has the privilege of learning the most from it. And I felt really good contemplating these things, especially when I contemplated who inspired it, those young children in my life that I love so much. And you are all children that God loves so much. And He's offered you that opportunity to obey His call, to come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you'd obeyed that call, but you've fallen short of something that you just need a little help with, He's given you plans for that too. You can come forward, lean on your friends and your peers. Let us pray for you and let us help you. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward while we stand singing.